All right, we're in Psalm 78 tonight. Psalm 78, thank the Lord for the time of fellowship and the time of testimony here tonight. Orchestra, you're dismissed. Yeah, I should have dismissed you a long time ago. Sorry. So Psalm 78, you can look at the first eight verses tonight. And going to try and preach a full-length message in about 10, 15 minutes here. But really, I think we need to understand something. There's a reason why we do this. There's a reason why we give testimony. We need to see the work of God. We need to... Is my microphone on, Brother Cole? It needs to be turned up a little bit. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. There's a reason we give testimony. We get encouraged. Amen. All of us, we're encouraged to see what God is doing. But one thing that's very, very important, it's important for us to have our kids hear what God is doing. It's extremely important. And in Psalm 78, we see verses 1 through 8, we're going to see a law that God established, a law that applies today, and we're going to be looking here in verse 1. If we could stand together, and we've been sitting for a little bit, Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8, and we're going to take some things out of here tonight. So give, O ear, my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, shewing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make known them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless our time tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, for the testimonies and the work you are doing in people's lives. I am encouraged tonight. And I pray that in this message, Lord, that you help me to be clear. Help me, Lord, not to move too fast tonight, but, Lord, to let these things sink in. It's so important for us to teach the next generation, the generation after, your works and what you have done. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that you guide and direct our time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we see here that God has established a law in Israel, and actually this law still applies today. A principle that we see that God has given that we need to reveal and to show what God has done in the past, in our lives, in generations past, and in His Word. In a message entitled tonight, Don't Hide the Work of God. Don't hide the work of God. God's law, we see, is we have a law of generational teaching. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 4, if you would. Deuteronomy 4 in verse number 9. Also, we're going to look at Deuteronomy 6, 7 and 8. And then we're going to be in Joshua chapter 4. So Deuteronomy 4, Deuteronomy 6, Joshua 4. We're going to go take a step through the law that God established and why he did that. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 9. Deuteronomy 4, 9 tonight. Only take heed to thyself, God's word says, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Very important to teach your children, but not only that, to teach your grandchildren. So I'm speaking to parents and grandparents tonight. That this is extremely important that we declare the work of God in our lives to our kids. When we see God do something, tonight we gave testimony, hey, this is what God did in my life. That is essential for our kids to see that. It is essential for our kids to know the work of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates, not only the testimonies, but also the law of God. This is important to understand. That God has established a pattern of parents teaching their children about the works of God. God did not sanction the Christian school to do that. God did not even sanction the church to do that. God sanctioned each individual family, parents, and grandparents have a part in this, to teach your children
the testimonies of God. More importantly, to see what God has done. What were they going to forget what God had done in bringing them out of Egypt? The miracles that God performed, and we go through Psalm 78. Don't have time to do that. I encourage you to do that later. It goes through the whole thing. It goes from coming out of Egypt and then how they had turned away, and then they came back, but they really didn't mean it, and then they turned away again. But every time it mentions, we're going to look at a couple of those verses, that they forgot what God had done. They had forgotten the work of God. Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, talking about memorials. Okay, the 12 stone memorial that was left when they came into the land. They left one in the middle of the Jordan River where God spread it. They put a memorial there. Then also when they made camp that night, they were to carry 12 stones. One of the princes was to pick up a stone from the middle of the river and take it and make a memorial. And then this is what Joshua said about it. That this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What mean ye by these stones?" Then he shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. This is still for us today. We will lose genuine Christianity if we do not show our kids how real God is. If we do not show him that he is really working today. I said, well, we show them from the Bible. That's great. We need to show our kids what the Bible says. But also we need to show them that what God says and what the Bible says is real. And that God has a real working in our life. Have you told them of things that God has done before they were born? Things that God did in your life. We could go give testimony after testimony after testimony. Yes, they can see him in the Bible, but they need to see him in our life too. I pray none of our kids cry out like Gideon did. And Gideon said unto him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But how the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us in the hand of the Midianites." He had heard what had happened before, but he sure hadn't seen it in his lifetime. He hadn't seen it in his family's life. We found out that his father had a high place. It was worshipped idols. And we see that God used him to do a mighty work. He wanted that. He wanted to see the work of God. And God said, "I know. I see your heart. I want you to do it." But tonight, why is it that we don't see? Why do people not do it? Why do people hide the work of God? Well, first point tonight is some forget to tell. At times, we forget what God has done. You know, as years go by, we forget details. We forget things that happen due to forgetfulness, maybe due to it being in the past, maybe due to backsliding. Oh, yeah, I remember when God used to work in my life, but he hasn't anymore. He doesn't anymore. Guess what? We need to get back to where God is working in our lives. We have so many things that we can tell our children of what God has done. Testimonies. I want my kids to know some things. You know, Pastor Harvey mentioned some things tonight. I want my children to know how God founded this church. How that his grandparents came here from North Carolina with a travel trailer, and they were either going to Fort Hood or they were going to go to San Antonio, Texas. They ran out of money here, so they started a church right here. Amen. Aren't you glad they did? God touched every single one of your lives. And then went and they just went up to the church here, Westside Baptist Church over here, and said, "Hey, can we use that little old chicken coop type?" Well, it's a building, a small building. "Hey, can we use that old building for a church?" Pastor said, "Sure, go right ahead." And started a church there, a little building, moved over to Elms Road to an old daycare, moved in there. Now it's a daycare again, building still there. It's a brown building on the right by Ellison High School. And church was there, grew there, then bought this property, built these buildings, hearing how God provided, and that how for the first year, 6 months to a year, every Sunday morning and Sunday evening service, someone was getting saved at this altar when the founding of this church. Amen. That's a miracle, even by today's standards, to see that happen. That was 1998 when this building was finished. And so praise God for all of those things. We can give God the glory. Guess what? I want my children to know how God has worked. I remember when we first got here, and we came here on a promise to work here. But guess what? When we came here, we didn't have any money. We lived in the upstairs of the church on $275 a month support. That's all we had. And you know what? The older I get, I had a lot of faith. You know, I have three kids. We had one, we had Caleb at the time, but we came here, and everybody, I told pastor friends, they told me I was nuts. I said, what in the world are you doing? It's not going to work out. I had several pastors, prominent pastors, telling me, this is not going to work. I'm still here. And I give God the glory for that. That's not me. I'm not saying all these things and say, well, pastor, you're wonderful. No, God is wonderful. I'm nothing. I can't tell how many times I wondered, God, is this really going to work? And then coming here and God laying on my heart to stay here and doing all this and putting all these flyers out. I want my children to know the first VBS we had, that we came here, and guess what? We packed out that bus, and we had 65 kids. Our first VBS, we were expecting 30. We had 65 kids, and we were ready, and I was excited, and we were teaching, and we had an invitation the first night. 30 kids came forward. I'll never forget that. I mean, we had them everywhere. We had them on the stairs. We had them over here. Had them in the back. Had them in the front rooms. Our workers were like, what do we do? we got through it. The next night, 15 more came. That whole VBS, out of the 65 kids, 58 of them got saved. Amen. When was the last time you heard that happen to VBS? Amen. I credit that to Pastor Harvey praying. Amen. And we went through that. Every year we have seen kids get saved. Getting ready for the bus ministry. We had that old bus out there. Guess what? The first week I was here, I'm determined to get that thing running. I turned, got batteries for it, hadn't run in 10 years, got it going, took it over to Carruthers Tires, and we had to have some tubes put in it and everything, and, you know, it was going to be several hundred dollars. Like, well, we'll pray and ask the Lord to provide the money. We got some money saved up, put new tubes in all the tires, as the older split rim tires, and we got there, and I went to pay, and the bill was $110. And I was like, I think there's a problem here on this bill. I said, this doesn't even cover labor. I said, is there a mistake? Guy looks at it, goes, nope, no mistake. $110. Hey, man, it was going to be like $500 worth of work. I praise God for that. I'll never forget, we had a tire in this because an older bus had a rare type of tire that was extremely expensive, $500 a tire. And we didn't have one. I was calling around to different shops and everything, found one in Waco that still had one. And so I went up to this shop and everything, this little hole-in-the-wall shop and everything, took me to the back. And he said, okay, I have a couple of used tires here. You know, it's an old retread there. I said, well, I guess they'll have to work. Only had a little bit of tire left. He said, well, you know what? Let me think about it. I think in this back corner over here in this back room, I think I have a tire that I bought at an auction. And it's brand new. So I went over there. Brand new tire. Brand new Goodyear tire. And I just asked him, I said, well, how much is it? You know, I'm thinking this is going to be more money than I have. You know, at that time, you know, our church had 25, 30 people. You know, we didn't have any money. And so I went in there and, you know, he looked at it. So, you know, so he said, this is for a church, right? He said, yes, sir. We're going to bring kids to church in this bus. He said, tire's yours. Amen. I was excited. You know, I got it out of there and put it in the back of the truck before it changed his mind. You know, got it in there. Guess what? I want my children to know those things. I mean, I want my children to know when I was out soul winning at Pensacola Christian College, I'd never been soul winning in my life, and I was trying to do right for the Lord, and I had made a lot of decisions, got rid of my bad music, got rid of all these things out soul winning, and I'm trying to keep my mind in the things of God, and there's a car that comes by that has horrible music playing and everything. I said, Lord, I really don't want to hear that. You know, I showed a prayer up there where I was waiting for my friend who was using the restroom at this Walgreens, and I said, Lord, I really don't want to hear for that. Lord, can you just stop that music? You know, it's one of those prayers kind of shoot up there, not knowing what's going to happen, and then all of a sudden I hear the amplifier go, boom! Music stopped dead. It scared me. Because at one of those times you realize that God's really up there. I said, thank you, Lord. And the guy didn't know what happened to it. He's like hitting it, whatever. He didn't know what happened. And you know what? That's how God reveals himself to us. And doing those things. I could go on and on and on with all kinds of, and you could as well. Do your children know these things? Even recently, you know, there's times that we see God do great things. Also, the times we need to rehearse that God remembers us in his tenderness. Last year, we moved into our house. Some, a lot of you know that we miscarried a little girl. And we were getting some furniture for our house. Moved into our house. Didn't have a whole lot. And so I was up in Belton buying some furniture that we found online and everything. And very nice furniture. And that table in the hallway right there that we brought in. and gave that to the church. There's a reason for that. As well as buying other furniture and things, as they said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a pastor. That's wonderful. So they're helping me move some stuff out to the van, and we were getting stuff in there, and I turn around, and that table sitting out back here, it was a beautiful table. I said, wow, that's beautiful. I'll talk to my wife and see, if we can maybe get that too later on. We'll have to see where our finances are at, but I appreciate it. And so I turned around, and that table's sitting there, and I said, oh, okay, oh, I wasn't going to buy that right now. He's like, no, you don't understand. We're giving you the table. And what they said next, they said, it seems like you need a little encouragement. What they didn't know was that day it was getting kind of hard. The house was still in pieces. We're trying to put it together. It was kind of a rainy day. It was getting kind of discouraged, grieving the loss of our baby girl. And I just started crying. And I said, you know what? It's just one of those times when God puts his hand there and he knows I'm here for you. I'm here. I said, you don't understand what was going on and everything. I said, well, and they said, we're going to pray for you right here. That it was, I think she was a little Pentecostal a little bit, but she put her hands on me and she put her hand on my shoulder and she just prays. I pray you just be with your servant, encourage him. Our children need to hear about those things. Need to hear about what God does. Don't forget them. Don't say, well, they're not important. They don't need to know those things. They do. They need to see that God is real. Our children need to know that it's important to understand that there really is a devil out there and there really is an adversary there. Our children need to know. Preachers have different stories. I have a story I like to tell. Some of you here for it. And, I was preaching on the devil being in our homes on a Sunday night. 5 or 6 years ago, and preaching getting the devil out of it, we need to cast the devil out. I was getting excited about that, and I'll never forget here. I watched right here something come. I don't know what it was. It was a demon, I believe, 100%. It's a pastor getting kind of weird. Just wait. Came out here, went through those flags, went through that flag, blew that door off its hinges, and skidded across the parking lot. He said, well, it was the weather. Weather was fine. It was, I believe, 100%. That was the devil's demon getting cast out of this church. I 100%. Pastor, you're getting kind of weird. Some of you are going, oh, kind of weird. Guess what? I'll tell you what. The altar was full that night. I'll never forget. I got the boys over here. Their eyes like this. Like, what happened? And the men going out there, what happened? Amazing thing. Door wasn't damaged. That landed on asphalt. And didn't do a thing to it. God's real. Devil's also real. Maybe number two tonight, maybe some are too busy to tell. Too busy, busy working, busy ministering, busy running. Take time to sit down and rehearse these things to your children. Take time and tell them what God is doing. Tell them what God is answering in your prayer life. And tell them what God is doing. Family devotions is a great time for that. Hey, this is what God's doing. Also ask them, hey, what God's doing in your life? It's amazing. Love it when your kids come to you and say, hey, guess what God did? I made a decision about this. Isn't that wonderful as parents when you hear them do that? Guess what? They should rehearse these things. Give them the Bible. Give them what God is doing so they know that God is real. You know why a lot of our young people are leaving churches in droves right now is because they do not believe God is real. They don't see him working. They don't think he's doing anything. Why is it worth it? Some forget to tell. Some are too busy to tell. Number three, some don't want to tell. Some don't want to tell. They're afraid their kids might take it too far. We don't want our kids to be extremists, We don't want our kids to take it too far, that they might actually have faith, that they might actually serve God. Trying to control their Christianity to not be too extreme. Guess what? We need some kids that have some faith. We need some young people to carry on. I was reading Jerry Ross's book, The 21 Tenets of Biblical Masculinity. Great book. I encourage it highly. I highly recommend it. I was reading it the other day, looking for something there. And it said, I realize, young men, you realize that God calls prophets from your generation. God's going to call some of you into ministry. whether it be in music, whether it be in preaching, whether it be in evangelism or missions. God is going to call someone out of the generation. You know what? You know, this, my generation keeps saying, well, it's somebody else coming up. It's not me. It's somebody else. Don't do that. I did that for a long time as a young person. You know what? God's calling somebody else over there. Not calling me. Not calling me. But he did. I praise God for that. I have a burden for that. Guess what? The pool of people. I'm thankful that this time up at the preaching conference that there were some people our age there. I'm just thankful for that. Last conference, there wasn't anybody our age. That we were the young ones there. You know, in the pastor's lunch, you're kind of looking around like, man, you know, all these people, you know, have kids in college, you know, and things like that. There was two other families there. I was thankful for that, that they were pastors and that they were they had brought their families to the conference. I praise God for that. You know, sometimes generationally, you feel like you're alone sometimes. Guess what? There's other people out there. Amen. Even if you are alone, still stand for the Lord. And if God's calling, you answer the call. I don't know all the details. It's okay. If he told you all the details, you'd be scared to death. Just follow one step at a time. But some don't want to tell. Others, they're ashamed. They're ashamed maybe of a mistake they made. They're ashamed of, this or that. Maybe they backslidden. You know, they got that God used to work in their life. Others, let's look at verses 10 and 11 here, Psalm 78. Others don't want to tell because they have rejected what God has done. They've rejected the grace of God. They say, you know what, I used to believe that, but I don't believe that anymore. There's too many used to be Christians. There's too many used to be this, used to be that. I used to believe in all that, but you know, I think I learned better. Verse 10 and 11 said, and they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he shewed them. Do you know verses 36 and 37? And nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Refused that. They didn't repeat the works of God. They didn't share them with the next generation because they didn't believe it anymore. They rejected it. But what's the purpose in telling them? Well, here are some things here that we see in verses 6 and 7. God gives us a reason why we're to do this. Verse number 6 of Psalm 78, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, to pass on the knowledge. This is the purpose, is to pass on the knowledge to the next two generations, your kids and your grandkids. So parents and grandparents have responsibility to not let your children or grandchildren forget the works of God. Remember, parents, we have to remind our kids of something. Hey, you remember when you gave your life to God? Amen? Yeah, do you remember that? Maybe you need to think about that a little bit before you make this decision. Hey, remember, you consult God because remember, God did this in your life. God did this. Miraculous things. Remind them of that. You know what? My mom was great at that. Reminded me, you know, when I would start talking about things, and she'd always say, well, Robert, remember. I'm like, oh, no, here it comes again. Remember, God has a special purpose for you. My mom said that to me 1,000 times. Because I was one of those teenagers that when I was 16, 17 years old, my whole life plan wanted to know, wanted to have it all figured out and everything. I said, Mom, who am I going to marry? I know Mom couldn't answer that question, but I stand in the kitchen and I'll be one, Mom, who am I going to marry? What's going to happen? What am I going to do? You know, all this stuff. I just want to know it all now. And I don't know how she put up with me. I think my children are going to be like that a little bit. And so I'll pray for my wife and all of that. I think Philip's going to be like that a little bit. You know, Mom, I just want to know. Dad, I want to know. And you know what she said? I don't know, but all I know is this. God has a very special purpose for you. And your father and I have prayed for you to do it. I didn't know till later that after I became a pastor, it's actually after I've been here, is that my mom told me. I said, in a moment, I was reminiscing. Remember how I told you that? So, we prayed? As we prayed that you be a pastor. He said, why did you ever tell me? It's because we want God to call you, not us. Never told me one time in my life. But they prayed that I would be. There I am. I'm thankful for my parents in that. Verse number 7, that they might set their hope in God. They might set their hope in God. Hope is not in man. Hope is not in yourself. Our hope is in the Lord. It was the Lord who delivered Israel out of Egypt. It was the Lord who gave them manna. It was the Lord that gave them victory over their enemies. And they needed to remember generation to generation to generation, because it's the generation after the battle's won that forgets. Isn't that what happened? You look at Judges and Joshua. It was after the land had been settled, after all had been done, after Caleb had claimed that mountain and Joshua had passed off the scene, they forgot about it because, not because they were told, some of them were, but we see, he said, that they forgot. They forgot the works of God. That was not important. Now, don't minimize God's work. Don't minimize the Bible. Don't minimize what God is doing. Magnify it and remind them. And also verse number 7 says this, not forget the works of God. And not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Don't forget God's work, but obey him. Walk with God and obey him. And also verse number 8, that they be not like those who have rejected God before them. Remember, there was a generation that died in the wilderness because they rejected God's goodness. Because they came all the way through, all that God had done, they say, we don't want it. They forget the works of God. They set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. With that, I'll stop. So can I challenge you with something tonight? I tried to keep it 15 minutes, but won't you tell your kids over and over again the goodness of God? Will you commit to that? Won't you establish some memorials, some traditions to remember the goodness of God? And by the way, it should not only be at the Thanksgiving table. It needs to be regular. Just like we regularly every month have the Lord's Supper, which we're going to have next week. To remember, it's a memorial, to remember the sacrifice of Christ. Why? Because we forget as human beings. We forget. As I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking about all the things that God has done in my life, and my wife's life, and I was thinking back, so, oh yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Oh yeah, and guess what? And I began to realize, have I ever told my sons these things? You know what? We need to make sure our sons know, and we assume our kids know all kinds of things about us. They don't. Just because you told them once doesn't mean they remember. You know, I was one of those interrogative kids. I always asked my parents, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? I'm like a knowledge sponge. And just found out all these things. And I sat down with my siblings, and my siblings said, oh, I didn't know that. Then they tell me things that they learned that I didn't know. It's important. Establish some memorials and some traditions to remember the goodness of God. Number 3, won't you train your kids in the knowledge of God? It's important. Church is important. Okay, I'm not saying Sunday school is not important. I'm not saying children's church is not important. But that's not the only place they learn about God. They ought to learn God at home first. Learn about him. Be teaching them. Family devotional time. Do it, please. Pray with your kids. Help them see answered prayer. I said, well, I need to do that. You know, some of you have little kids. You know, some of us have older, some of us have little kids. Some of you are going to have kids. Right? I know we've got one on the way in August here. And then some of you young people, you're going to get married one day. I mentioned this in Sunday school. Some of these guys are going to get married. Some of these girls are going to get married. Someday, amen, right? And the girls are saying, come on, Lord, send somebody, right? By the way, I was encouraging our young ladies the other day, wait for the right one. God's got somebody special for our young ladies, amen. We have wonderful young ladies, amen. We're thankful for them. And you know what? God's going to send the right person at the right time for y'all, right? Connor's glad he waited. Right? And guess what? God sent Becky Express Mail right here. Right? Amen. They got little Ruth. Amen. All right, I'm going to keep going, but will you commit to that tonight? Is it maybe you've never made a commitment to do that? Pastor, I want to do that. Maybe we need to re-up a commitment. Maybe we say, even young people, are you going to commit that you're going to tell your kids about what God has done in your life? How God saved you. Do your kids know your salvation testimony? How you got saved? Amen. Do they know those things? I encourage you to teach them to them. So tonight, don't hide the work of God. Reveal it. Shout it from the mountaintops. But sometimes we're good at telling other people, but sometimes we're not good at telling our kids. Other people know, but we don't tell our kids. Let's commit to that tonight. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. Pray that you bless invitation time as we come before you, Lord, that we would not hide your work, but that we would profess it aloud as we had testimonies tonight. Lord, I know our service is a little longer tonight, but Lord, I pray that we would still stay focused in. And Lord, if you want us to make a decision, that we would not neglect to do that tonight, that we would commit to tell our kids what you have done, tell our grandkids. Lord, I pray that maybe in some, the great-grandkids. I pray, Lord, that we would take seriously the command and the responsibility you give us. Bless his invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.